Welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's concurrent meeting of the Building Structural Technical Advisory Committee, Roofing Technical Advisory Committee, and Special Occupancy Technical Advisory Committee. I want to remind everybody there's going to be a lot of people on the call with three tacks convening concurrently to please be aware. Please mute your, first off, please mute yourself if you're not speaking to be aware of background noise. If you've joined by a phone, please do not put yourself on hold. Use the mute function. Please wait till you're spoken to offer an opportunity to speak. Do not speak out of turn. Please state your name.
This conference will now be recorded.
Please state your name each time you speak. And of course, TAC members when making and seconding motions. Everybody will have an opportunity to speak. But we'll do so in an orderly fashion. All right. As far as our DBTR staff, we have Tom Campbell, Jim Hammer. Okay, caller number 9 needs to be muted, and we'll find out who they are. Okay, Sabrina Evans, Robert Denbow. If I miss anybody, please, I'm not done yet. But I believe that. And Marlita Peters. So we have two people who joined by phone.
Justin
on the line. Yeah, your name comes up, Justin, so you're good. There's two callers who joined, caller number 8 and 9. If you have a phone, please identify yourself.
Marlita Peters.
This is Charles Picard, calling from Tapbox.
Number 9 is Charles. I couldn't catch that. Marlita, you need to mute that phone, please. It's number 8, I think, caller number 8. There you go. Thank you. Caller number 9 was Charles. I couldn't catch it.
Okay, now it's Charles Picard from Tesla.
Yeah.
Spelled it.
All righty. Okay.
You need to spell it last name.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to open each tack in turn, structural, roofing, and special OC in that order. I'll establish the quorum, have the agenda and the minutes approved. Do that for all three of them so all three are convened. Then we'll go into the deck statements, and then the roofing TAC can stay on or adjourn. We'll adjourn them, and they can stay on, and then we'll go on to the special occupancy. Okay, starting off with our structural TAC, Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Commissioner Boyer.
Good morning, present.
Very good. Cypher Barton.
Here.
Jamie Gascon.
Here.
Michael Gorasio. Mike, are you on? All right. Joe Kim.
I'm here.
Dan Laveridge.
Here. Good morning.
Morning. C.W. Malcomber. Steve Orlowski, Craig Perino,
yes.
Gordon Thomas. Gordon, are you on? All right, we have 7 of 11, so we have a quorum. Let me check one more time on the missing folks. Michael Garacio, CW, Steve, or Gordon, are any of you on? All right, so we have 7. We have a quorum. Okay, structural TAC, just in the interest of time, the agenda for today is to provide the commission with your recommendations regarding DS 2021-039 and DS 2021-050, as well as approve the minutes from the last meeting. Is there a motion, please, to approve the agenda as posted by name?
Laveridge, move to approve the agenda as posted.
Murray, second.
Motion and a second for approval. All in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, you have seen the October 5th, 2021 meeting minutes, a link to the agenda. Unless there's any corrections or revisions, I would ask for a motion to accept those minutes as
minutes,
they were posted.
Hey, Jeff.
It's Tom. Yes, sir.
Those minutes aren't there yet because they're from the meeting on Monday.
Oh, great. Thank you.
We'll take a minute, so.
Yep. Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, well, we have now convened the structural tech. We will now go to the roofing tech. Commissioner Swope. Brian, you're on, I believe, right? If you are, you're muted. Brian, are you there? All right, Commissioner Betts. Jim, are you on? All right, Bob Boyer?
I'm here. Thank you.
Jimmy Buckner? George Ebersold?
Here.
Bert Logan?
Here.
Gaspar Rodriguez?
Here.
Bill Schultz?
Recording.
Did Bill respond in the spot? Yeah.
I'm here.
Very good. All right, I'm getting feedback.
Jeff, did you mute? I think I was muted on your end. It's Brian Swope.
Jeff, I think you're muted.
Jeff, we can't hear you at all, and you're not muted on my end. Jeff, we can't hear you.
No audio, Jeff.
Guess you can't hear us either.
No.
Doesn't sound like it.
Tom, can you text Jeff and let him know we can't hear him?
I think he's figuring it out now.
All right. I don't know. Sorry.
There we go.
So are you hearing me now?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So I'm working Commissioner Swope's present. Is Jim Batts on? All right. Or Jimmy Buckner? Or Mark Zanel?
Mark Zanel, I'm here.
All right, Mark's on now. Good. So we have 9 of 11 for the roofing tack at this point. First order of business is to approve the agenda. The agenda is to provide to, I guess probably these minutes aren't ready either, Tom, is that correct?
That is correct.
Very good. Then it's to approve today's agenda and to provide recommendations to the commission on S-2021-039. Is there a motion, please, to approve the agenda as posted by name?
Motion to approve Boyer's agenda.
Ebersold, second.
Motion second for approval. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Then it's unanimous. Okay, so we have opened the second of three tacks. We'll now go to the special occupancy tack. We'll do the same. Don Whitehead. Don, are you on? Doug Ahrens, Don Cole,
I'm here.
Very good. Elijah Flowers,
here.
Michelle Haynes, Michelle. All right. Richard Hilburn. Or Alyssa, I'm sorry, Alyssa Lotain. Alyssa, are you on? All right. Crystal Myers. Bob Vincent. Scott Waltz. Checking one more time, we have two, clearly not a quorum. Is Don Whitehead on? Doug Ahrens. Michelle Haynes, Alyssa Lotain, Crystal Myers, Bob Vincent, or Scott Waltz. All right, well, that's
TAC does not have a quorum, so we will not convene them, but we have the other two TACs. Unfortunately, the structural TAC is hearing both TAC statements, so we'll be okay. Okay, then let's go ahead and start off with the roofing TAC, which is DS 2021-039 by David Ross at Tierra Inc. The first order is we'll hear if there's anything. We'll do this for both deck statements. Is there anything from the petitioner? Is there any public comment? We'll ask legal if they have any particular comments, and then get staff analysis, and then the TAC will discuss and take action on the deck statement and provide the commission with their recommendation. So on 2021-039, is there anybody from the petitioner who'd like to provide any additional information to what's already been provided to the TAC?
David Ross, petitioner, is here.
Okay. So if you would just state your name and your representation and then provide us any additional information you'd like, that we'll take public comment and we'll go back to the TAC. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. My name is David Ross, and I just wanted to go through it. I looked through the, let's see here.
Staff analysis.
Yes, I looked through the leave for to intervene, and I just wanted to say that for the most part, I do agree with that, in the sense that this code is referring to the current code. However, in my original petition, something that I established was that the content, which is in the current code, also went back to the 2004 building code, and that's I believe that they indicate that that's there's a term that they use, insanity doctrine, something like that. Oh, here it is. But anyway, they say that it doesn't make sense. The interpretation doesn't make sense. I disagree, and I believe that it does make sense. And not only do I believe that it does make sense, I believe that this is an interpretation that is used not only by me and individuals at Tierra, but also other individuals in the engineering industry at large. I think that a lot of the rest of the petition is within there, but I did want to make clear that I do believe that there's been no substantial change in the code since that 2004 code. So if the roof meets the code for the 2020 building code, then it'll also meet the code for the 2004 building code, and there's the equivalence that I wanted to indicate.
Okay. All right, is there any additional public comment?
Mike Silver, FRSA. Thank you, Commission staff and TAC members, for the opportunity to speak. We think that this is very clear that this code is, in fact, the current version of the Florida Building Code. If in fact, there's places where the code needs to point to the entirety of the code, one of the areas we can look at is 706.7 mitigation, which has to do with the renailing of roof decks, and the intent there was to exempt all buildings that were built under the Florida Building Code, and the term used there is structures permitted subject to the Florida Building Code are not required to comply with this section. If this code actually meant the entirety of the Florida Building Code, it would say structures permitted subject to this code. That's not what it says in this code. I think in numerous places in the code is very clear that it is in fact the current version of the Florida Building Code, and that aligns with the staff analysis and the sections that they cited as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Silver. Is there any additional public comment?
This is Trey Batcher, General Counsel for FRSA, and you know, to echo what Mike just said, and you know, not to beat a dead horse, but I think we're basically saying what the staff analysis is saying, right? We're dealing with a defined term. We're not dealing with a term of art that's subject to interpretation. When you look at the definition sections, it tells us this code means the operative code, and there's no reason to try to explore this further. As Mike just said, if they meant something else in 70611, they would have used that other language we see with respect to mailing. So I think FRSA's position is pretty clear, and I think we actually echo the staff's position pretty closely here, not identically. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any additional public comment? Okay.
Morning.
I'm sorry, who's this?
Good morning. This is Bob Vincent calling in. Sorry I'm late.
Okay. His presence, and we'll see if we do establish a quorum on special offer or not. Okay. And we'll worry about that when we get to that particular deck statement. I'll check again. Okay. Seeing no additional public comment, I'm going to, Justin, do you have anything to say? And then we'll get to Moe's, your staff's analysis legally.
This is Justin Vogel, the Florida Building Commission attorney. My only comment is that the TAC doesn't need to address FRSA's motion to intervene directly. We posted it because it has their comments on the deck statement petition itself, but other than that, no action is necessary on the part of the TAC.
Thank you. So we'll just focus on the deck statement then. Okay. Mo, would you please provide staff's analysis and recommendation? Mo, are you still there? You're probably muted, so check yourself. Mo, are you on or not? Justin, would you, I see Mo's name, Mo. There you go, Mo.
All right, now, I guess you can hear me now. This is Mo Medani. Good morning.
Morning.
All right. Well, the petitioner have stated, and also Mike Silver, I think they gave you the background information about the request for a declaratory statement. In terms of the issue is before us is DS 2021-039. This is a petitioner which is seeking a declaratory statement regarding whether the entire roofing surface of both roof sections of the project in question are required to be replaced as per the current Florida Building Code, or whether a repair could be performed to remediate the wind damage and still be in accordance with the Florida Building Code. The petitioner is mainly seeking clarification of the following questions. Question one, does the entire roof at the subject residence need to be replaced to conform to the requirements of this code, even if it has been permitted after October 1, 2005 and subsequently approved? Language from the 2020 edition of the FBC. Question number two, can the roof at the subject residence that has been permitted after October 1, 2005 and subsequently approved and confirmed to the requirement of this code be repaired even if more than 25% of the roof was damaged? The petitioner represent a specific situation. I believe you find it in the staff analysis in the first page where it says the roof at the subject residence has a different difference of elevation between two sections of the roof, and therefore consisted of two separate roof sections. The main roof section at the subject residence was 4,474 square feet. There was another small roof section that measured 256 square feet. During the petitioner's site visit, it was determined that 1,300 square feet of the main roof section and 70 square feet of the similar roof section were damaged as a result of Hurricane Irma. This is approximately 29% of the main roof section and 27% of the smaller roof section. So the percentage of repair does exceed 25% in this case. I did include in the staff analysis code sections from the 2020 Florida Building Code. I included section 105.3, application for permit, which says each permit shall be inscribed with the date of application and the code in effect as of that date. So it really says, you know, the date of application determine which code would apply. So in this case, this is, since this, assuming this job will take place, or the permit will be submitted, within the duration of the 2020 for the building code. So in this case, the code that will apply is the 7th edition 2020 for the building code. The other thing is the sections that section 101.1 title for the code for existing buildings says this regulation shall be known as the Florida Building Code existing building here and after referred to as this code. So this code is clearly the, you know, this section says is the Florida Building Code existing building. And when we were talking about, you know, this language is as it currently exists in the 2020 Florida Building Code. So really this section means the current Florida Building Code. Also, the other section that of issue is 706.1.1, which says not more than 25% of the total roof area or roof section of any existing building or structure shall be repaired, replaced, or recovered in any 12-month period unless the entire existing roofing system or roof section is replaced to conform to the requirement of this code. So this code meaning that the current code as it exists now, the 2020 for the building code. Based on that, I give a different option, which is option one is the petitioner. Question number one, does the entire roof at the subject's residence need to be replaced to conform to the requirement of this code, even if it has been permitted after October 1, 2005 and subsequently approved language from the 2020 edition of the code, FBC. Answer, the petitioner answer is to the question is no. Question number two, can the roof at the subject residence that has been permitted after October 1, 2005 and subsequently approved and confirmed to the requirements of this code be repaired even if more than 25% of the roof was damaged? The answer, the petitioner answer to the question is yes. I'm going to skip option two, which is a motion to intervene based on our legal counsel statement, but it's available for information. Option number three, which is the staff. Question number one, does the entire roof at the subject residence need to be replaced to conform to the requirements of this code, even if it has been permitted after October 1, 2005 and subsequently approved, between the brackets language from 2020 edition of the FBC brackets. Answer, the answer to the petitioner's question is yes, as per section 706.1.1 of the 7th edition 2020 for the building code, existing building. The entire roof in question is required to be replaced to conform with the requirement of the 7th edition 2020 for the building code existing building. as per Section 101.1 title of the 7th edition 2024 of the Building Code existing building. This code means the current active version of the code, i.e. the 7th edition 2024 of the Building Code existing building. Question number two. Can the roof at the subject residence that has been permitted after October 1, 2005 and subsequently approved and confirmed to the requirements of this code be repaired even if more than 25% of the roof was damaged? Answer. The answer to the petitioner questions is no. As per Section 706.1.1 of the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code existing building, and since more than 25% of the roof in a question was damaged, the entire roof for the project in question must be replaced. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Mel. So TAC members only, or if you have either TAC any questions, and then I'm going to ask each of the TACs in turn to take a motion, what your motion would be, vote on it, and then go to the other TAC, and then after we're concluded, we'll adjourn the roofing TAC and then continue on with our next TAC statement. So starting with the roofing TAC, does any TAC member have any questions?
No. This is Mark Zanel. I would make a motion that we accept the staff opinion. It's pretty clear.
All right. This is Boyer. I would second that motion.
We have a motion and a second for option number three, staff's analysis for questions one and two. Is there any discussion from the roofing TAC on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of staff's analysis, say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, that's the living tax recommendation. The commission will now go to the structural tax. Is there any questions or
Lambert, you have a question?
One second. David?
Yeah. Jeff,
one second, Dan. David spoke first, so go ahead, David.
I've got a comment first, and then I've got a question for Mr. Silvers. But my comment is the way that Section 706.1.1 reads now has been in the code for many editions. It's been in the high-velocity hurricane code. What changed between the 2017 and the 2020 code in trying to clean up and make everything uniform, we brought forward this language from the high-velocity hurricane zone and put it into Section 706.1.1. In all this time, I don't believe Miami-Dade has been interpreting this code section the way the roofing TAC just voted. And like I said, this has been in multiple editions of the code before. So my question to Mr. Silvers, I'm trying to understand what would require a new roof to be put on. So if I had a roof installed on December 30th, 2020, under the 2017 code, and on January 1st, 2021, I had a storm come through and damaged 30% of my roof. So under your interpretation, I now have to put a new roof because we're under the 2020 code. The roof is 3 days old. I would like to understand what changed between the 2017 and the 2020 that would require me to put a new roof on.
Is that a question that you want Mr. Silvers or you want Mo to answer?
No, I want Mr. Silvers to answer that.
Happy to do so. Thank you for the question. You're correct in that this has been in the code, particularly in the HVAC sections, for some period of time. I'm not aware of a different interpretation there. We've got several representatives of Miami-Dade. They may be able to help with that. But we think this is the way it has been interpreted. We're not great proponents of the situation you just described, of, you know, immediately having to replace a roof that was just installed by the previous code. We actually intend to put a modification in to try to adjust that and give some period of time. But we think that the language in the code currently is very clear. And we don't necessarily agree that that something that is in compliance with the code, which is the way the 25% rule used to be worded outside of the HVAC, We don't think that that's necessarily the best practice, but we do think it's very clear that that is what is required under the current Florida Building Code.
This is Mo Madani. Jeff, if it's okay with you.
Sure, go ahead, Mo.
When really we take up a declaratory statement and try to analyze it and come up with a clarification on it, we really do it based on the facts that's submitted. This there's nothing here where it says that this roof is a 1 year old or 6 months old. This is really the way it's presented. It seems that it was done years ago. So the language, so if it's fall within this code, then it become a different issue. Now, if it's really, for example, if there is a roof covering that got damaged, that's built to the 2020 code, and then become this code become an issue there, and yeah, we can clarify. But really, this declaration statement and our answer to the question is based on the facts submitted, which is goes back to the old codes.
So, Mo, if I can prove that my roof installed under the 2017 code meets the requirements of the 2020, then I would not have to replace it.
I'm not saying that. I think this is a different story. This is a different subject, different, you know, fact that I think it'll be, it's very hard for me to answer it without having the fact. So at this point, I would say, let's just stick with what really the issue here and what the facts submitted. And that's really the answer is based on the facts that submitted. It's not something that we're trying to generalize. It's still is within those facts submitted. So whatever answer we give is based on what's provided.
Okay, thanks.
Can you hear from Miami-Dade that can and tell us how they've been interpreting the high velocity hurricane zone all these years?
Let's hear from Jamie Gaskin.
Yes, Jeff. Thank you very much. Jamie Gaskin here. In response to that, the attempt that has been made is to identify or indicate that the repair or the re-roofing section is only for the section of the roof. In the case that's being presented, two sections have been damaged, and the code makes an attempt or has traditionally made an attempt to focus on just re-roofing that section of the roof. In an attempt to try to address exactly what Mr. Compton has mentioned of not having to repair the entire thing. So in a particular case where both sections and there's only two sections on the roof, yes, that would then require the entire roof to be re-roofed.
Thank
but
you, Jane.
The code does it in the attempt to just identify it as a section.
Thanks, Jamie. Okay, Dan, the reason that was because Commissioner Compton had a series of questions, so he's concluded hers. Now I turn to you, Dan.
Okay, thanks. And I was part of the rewriting of this, actually the writing of this section of the code a few years back, more than a few years ago, actually, when we first brought this 25% rule issue into the Florida Building Code. Yes, it came from the high-velocity hurricane zone. And the intent of this section of the code was that if you were going to repair or replace more than 25% of a roof, that you would bring that roof up to current code. That was the intent. That's what we wanted to see. We wanted to see that a roof, if it was damaged significantly, and 25% was used for that threshold, that roof would then be brought to current code. So to address Dave Compton's concept of that, if you install a roof one day and it's damaged the next day, do you really need to replace the entire roof? The whole idea was to have the roof conform to current code. So my opinion would be that you would not have to replace that entire roof if it conformed to the current edition of the building code. And that's always been the intent of the code. and relating to separate sections, each section of the roof that's just defined as a section is actually considered to be a separate roof. So the code, you know, clearly identifies that. But the language that's in the code relating to replacement of the roof is, I don't think, is accurate to actually follow the intent of the code. The intent, again, was to make it that the roof would conform to the current code if it had been damaged. Let's take an example. If you have a section, if you have a roof, and let's say it's a tile roof, and 30% of the tile gets blown off the roof, and the rest of the tile is perfectly intact, should you have to tear all the tile off and replace all the tile, including the underlayment and so on and so on, if it all conformed to, you know, the current code, if it was, you know, recently installed? So, you know, that's, and I would ask Mo, you know, what do you think about that, Mo? Is that what we're saying in the code? Is that the intent of the code? Notwithstanding what's written, I understand, you know, the words that are written, but what are your thoughts on that, Mo?
I think there's two things. The language change in the code, I think, really, Mark Zeno would speak to that. We did change the language to match the language in the high-velocity hurricane zone, where we changed and added the word replaced. I think the issue here is that the word replaced as added into that section, which created the concern being raised now. I understand the situation that described by, Commissioner Compton. I think Jamie did speak on that. I think the issue here is that what we're trying to do, what we're trying to repair. Are we trying to repair an old roof, or are we trying to repair a roof that is meet the current code but got damaged? So as a two different situation that could be addressed differently. But at this point, what we have before us is a roof that's an old roof that was not built to this code, which is the current code. And that's really the questions that we're trying to answer in relation to those. So, and that's where really, without having the specific facts, it's very hard to really try to really give an intent or an interpretation on the code. So I've dealt with it. I get a lot of questions from the insurance groups. They're trying to figure out this is out, but I think this. The deck statement, as written, it deals with an old roof, so that's what we need to focus on. Not really, whether it's to this code or not.
So, Jeff, can I have a quick comment?
Please wait. I need to kind of frame this back into what we're actually here to talk about. These are issues that can be discussed in the TAC as a separate issue, agenda item, or during the testimony. At this point, we're here to discuss clear language of the code is giving some mission on that. We discussed the intent, what it should or shouldn't be. But for now, on this particular set of facts and circumstances, okay, somebody's got a lot of background noise. So, staff members, is there any other question? Does anybody have a motion to run? Yeah.
Laverich, I'll make a motion.
Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I will move that we accept staff's opinion, the answers to question one and question two with one correction under the answer to question number one, third line, says roof in question is required to be replaced to confirm with the requirements that should be conform, just change that word to conform, and then I would move that we accept the answers as stated.
Second by Barre.
Very good. We have a motion and a second to approve staff's analysis as amended to correct the word confirm to conform. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Are there any opposed?
Yes.
Okay, Commissioner Cox is opposed. So the vote then would be 6-1. I still need to confirm that Commissioner Swope is actually on the phone. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am. I think I was muted originally.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were. I just wanted to make sure. All right, so the vote
yes,
is 6-1. That passes. Okay, that concludes the roofing tax business. Feel free to stay on the line. But, Brian, if you would, please adjourn your TAC, and then we'll go back to the next issue on the table.
Okay. Yeah, if we're no longer needed, we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you, sir. So the roofing TAC is now at 8:42 a.m., and now we'll go to the second deck statement. Before I start that, I am first to see whether we have a quorum now for our special occupancy TAC. I'm going to go with Don Whitehead. Don, are you on? All right. Doug Aaron. Doug, are you on? Con Cole?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, sir. Elijah Flowers?
Here.
Very good. Michelle Haynes? Alyssa Lotain? Crystal Myers?
Here.
All right. Bob Vincent?
I'm here.
Scott Walt? All right, well, we only have four members, so we don't have a quorum, so we'll take this deck statement up with our structural TAC and go from there. Okay, the next piece of business before the structural TAC is to provide the commission with recommendation on DS 2021-050 by Thomas Smith of Classic Ford and Dream Homes, LLC. Again, the process is I'll ask the petitioner if they have any additional information they'd like to provide, and then I'll ask for public comment, and then for any legal comments, and then staff analysis, and then the TAC will take their action and motion as a recommendation to the commission. All right, is there anybody from the petitioner or the petitioner who would like to speak at this time? Please identify yourself by name and representation. We're not able to hear you. Your mouth is moving, sir, and you, but we're not hearing you. While that's happening, I just got a text on something. It's still not going to change the quorum requirement, but, are there any alternates present for any of the special occupancy TAC members? If so, you should identify yourself. Saeed, are you here for Scott Waltz? Well, I'm not hearing from him, and even so, it's still not going to get. We'll go with that. Okay, Mr. Thomas, we're not able to hear you. If you turn your volume up on your computer, you know, maybe your volume's down. Push the volume button. Now you're muted, but there's also a volume on your computer. See if you can turn the volume up. No, we're not hearing you. Maybe you have a headset you could use.
Jeff, who is this? See if I can fix it on my end.
Right, Tom, you're about to say something. Go ahead.
Jeff, it's Jim. I was trying to see who the person was you were talking to so that I can try and unmute him on my end.
It's Thomas Smith. He's not muted. He's the petitioner, and he's been, you know, he's trying to speak. I can see that his mouth is moving, but Mr. Smith, I know you can hear me. So your computer has a volume, and your volume may be completely off on the computer, so turn the volume up. Until, you know, it's fully on. And we're not able to hear you at all. Justin?
Jeff, well, it's probably a microphone issue rather than a volume issue, especially if he can hear you. Mr. Smith, do you have a telephone that you could call in on? We're not picking up anything from your microphone.
I see he has a phone in a form now, Justin, so perhaps he's calling in. I was just going to say, it looks like the number, if you're not, in case you don't have it in front of you, is
1-866-899-4655.
There we go.
And then your message is, please re-enter your access code followed by pound or hash sign.
That is him talking.
Mr. Smith, I can hear you now. Can you say
something? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you please provide any information that you can back out the petition and all the information, any additional information you'd like to provide, go ahead. Please.
Yes, I'd like to. I'm Thomas Smith. I'm the owner of Classic Florida Dream Homes, and for many years we've been using private provider services all along the beaches of Pinellas County, et cetera, if we deal in different counties. And that's been fine. Different areas along the beach now have decided that private providers cannot be allowed to work in areas that are flood prone based on FEMA standards. Well, that conflicts with, the city of St. Pete allows us down there, city of Tampa, city of Sarasota, et cetera. And yet some of the other municipalities here do not allow it. And we like using private provider. They're less expensive. They're a little bit more efficient. And we like to do that. So what happens is, even when we're using other homes that we're building now, when they disallowed us to use the private provider services, we go out there and the inspections are being done by private provider. Even the county hires private providers to go ahead and do this the servicing, but they don't allow us as a builder. So, and at the end of the job, their verbal argument is, well, we need to make sure, we need to protect, make sure that FEMA standards are 100% allowed. But every municipality has a special administrator, a Florida Plain Manager, that looks at the end of the project when an independent licensed surveyor does the certificate of completion showing the elevations are right, the flood vents are in, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all the same. And I think for members who may not understand the private provider services, every time they call for any inspection from footer to final, they have to let the county know. If the county wants to go out and do the inspection also, they can. And certainly at the end, if they want to, they can go on out and take a look at it. But again, just some municipalities will not allow private provider services, so it stops us from moving forward with it. So I'm not an attorney. It seems to me, as I can't understand the part of it, there's a conflict of the word affidavit between the Florida Building Commission, the Florida Building Code, and the Florida statutes, and that under the 2020 Florida Building Code, that has been changed, and yet some of the municipalities do not allow us to use private provider if they're in a FEMA floodplain area. So we respectfully ask that the members of the committee allows us to do that. We do have staff approval for this. It's kind of a common sense thing. The private providers are doing the inspections anyway for the county. We'd like to be able to hire them ourselves as a just general contractor in the area.
Thank you. Is there any additional
public comment?
Yes, sir, Mr. Belcher.
Okay, Joe Belcher, Florida Homeowners Association, speaking in support of the staff analysis that the answer to the question is that Section 107.6.1 does not apply to services provided by private providers in support of staff analysis. Thank you.
All right, any additional public comment? All right, so I'm going to come back to the tap, but before I do, I'm going to check one more time on special occupancy. Is Don Whitehead or anybody's alternate, Doug Ahrens, Michelle Haynes, Alyssa Lotain, Scott Wall, Okay. Well, Syed, are you here for Scott? Please answer.
Hey, Jeff, it's Tom. I just spoke to Michelle Haynes, and she'll be joining the call in about 5 minutes.
All right, so we're going to need both of these to make the quorum requirement.
But we have how many members on this tag?
We have, we do have one less now, I realize. So we now have 9 members, not 10, so we need 5 members, yeah.
We need the 5.
Okay. I had it as 6 because somebody dropped off. Anyway, okay, so that's 5. Still, the Syed is lit up, but there's no response.
I'll just Syed and see if you can get it. Okay. So, Syed, we have confirmed, is on the call. We just spoke to him.
All right, then I will mark him as present for Scott. So we do now have a quorum. On that basis, I'm going to go ahead and open them up for the meeting, and then we'll continue from where we left off. Okay. Today's agenda for the special PAC is to, I presume the September 24th minutes are available, Tom?
They are not yet.
Okay, that's fine. Then it's to approve the agenda and then to provide the commission recommendations on DS 2021-050. Is there a motion by name to approve the agenda as posted, please? Special Occupancy TAC members, I need 2 of you to respond.
Crystal Myers, motion to approve.
Elijah Flowers, second.
Motion and a second for approval. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, so we have both TACs now, so we will seek motions from both. We've heard from public comment, we've heard from the petitioner. Now I'd like for Justin Vogel to address whether there's any legal issues he'd like to offer up at this legal comments at this point, and then I'll go to Mo for staff analysis. Justin?
Justin, I don't have anything to add to Mo's analysis.
Okay, Mo, go ahead. Take her away. Mo, you're still muted.
All right. Can you hear me now?
You can.
Good morning. This is Mo Mandani, and today I'm going to go over the issue DS 2021-050. This is a declaratory statement. You already heard from the petitioner on it, and also staff analysis is posted on the agenda for your review. I'm going to just point certain things on the staff analysis, and then we'll go to the questions and the answers to it as presented by the petitioner. The petitioner mainly is seeking a declaratory statement on whether Section 107.6.1 building permit issued in the basis of an affidavit applies to private provider as authorized by Section 553.791 for the statute. The petitioner mainly seek clarification of the following question. Where the 2020 Florida Building Code does Section 107.6.1 building permit issued on the basis of an affidavit apply to private provider where Florida Statute 553.791? And the petitioner has already gave you the situations or gave you the facts about the project, and I'm going to go into first the two section. First of all, the issue that is really being raised has to do with Section 107.6.1, and you see that in staff analysis in page 3. It says building permit issued on the basis of an affidavit. It says pursuant to the requirements of the federal regulation for participation in the National Flood Insurance Program, for CFR Part 59 and 60, the authority granted to the building official is to issue permit, to rely on inspection, and to accept the plans and construction documents on the basis of affidavits and plans submitted pursuant to Section 105.14 and 107.6 shall not extend to the flood load and flood resistance construction requirements of the Florida Building Code. If you read the sections, really, all what it talks about is two sections within the Florida Building Code. It talks about Section 105.14 and Section 107.6. There's no mention here or reference to the private provider statutes 553.791. So really, anything we discuss and our, you know, it would be based on this narrow definitions within 107.6.1. Even the Florida Building Code, if you look into the Florida Building Code, there is nothing in the Florida Building Code that's really provide for any minimum provisions or reference to the private provider section 553.791. The two things that really this section reference is, as I've given you in the staff analysis, is there's two sections. One, section 105.14, which says permit issued on the basis of an affidavit. This is mainly, you know, a section that allowed a building official to accept affidavit from, you know, a qualified entity. This is mostly is related to the discretion of the building official to do that. Same thing with 107.6 affidavit. The building official may accept a sworn affidavit from a registered architect. Again, this is really left to the discretion of the building official. So when we speak of affidavit, we speak only of these two sections. Based on all this, I think the staff analysis, if you go to the question and the answer, the question, bear the 2020 Florida Building Code, that's section 107.6.1, building permit issued on the basis of an affidavit applied to private provider per Florida Statute 553.791. The answer to the petitioner's question is no. Section 107.6.1, building permit issued on the basis of an affidavit of the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code, building is limited in scope to affidavit issued as per Section 105.14 and 107.6 of the 7th edition Florida Building Code, building, and therefore Section 107.6.1 does not apply to services performed by a private provider as authorized by Section 553.791 Florida Statute. Any question? Thank you.
All right, TAC members. Any of the TAC members from either TAC have any questions, or does any TAC, one of the two TACs wish to make a motion?
You're muted, Dan.
Laverich, I'll make a motion.
All right.
Jamie, I'll second.
Dan, your motion is to support staff's analysis.
Laverich motion to accept staff analysis as written.
Jamie, second, yeah.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to support staff's analysis on the deck statement. Is there any discussion from the structural TAC? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? It's unanimous. I believe we have 8 members present now, so that would be 8-0 unanimous. Okay, going to the special occupancy tax, is there a motion, please?
This is Bob. I'll move the same motion that the former TAC made.
Very good. Is there a second?
Elijah Flowers, second.
All right, we have a second from Elijah. We have a motion and a second to support staff's analysis.
Yes, sir. Tom Campbell, I just want to make sure that Con Cole does and have a comment. He's been coming off and on his mute. I just want to make sure he's been able to speak if he wants.
Yeah, thank you. So we have a motion and a on the table, which is to support staff's analysis. Is there any discussion from the TAC?
Yeah, this is Con Cole. I think some of the confusion is coming from, and those that are more familiar with the process, it's my understanding that for a private provider to do the inspections and review the plans at the local level, that process is started by an affidavit. Is that correct?
A notice to building official.
Yes, it started by that they submit an affidavit to the building official that they're going to use a private provider. Is that, that's my understanding of the process. Is that correct?
Any TAC member have the answer or staff? Doesn't sound like
that. Mo is trying to talk. He's muted. Let me give him 1 second.
Mo, there we go.
Yeah, this is Mo Madani. I think the way it's the private provider statute is a kind of a different subject within Florida statute. It's not part of the Florida Building Code. This is really the private provider's law. It allows the building owner to select the private provider to do the plans review or inspection in lieu of the local jurisdiction. Now, that's really the function of it. So it's more of a, the building official has no discretion on that. The building owner is the one who decides whether they want to use the private provider or not. But there is a very complete system that you have to follow that's spelled out in Florida Statute 553.791. I hope that answered your question.
Okay. Yeah, so for clarity, this was added to the Florida Building Code per FEMA's request, and basically what it's saying is that the local community cannot rely on just a private provider to make sure that the flood loads and the flood design meets the flood ordinance and the NFIP requirements, that the local community also has to review and do inspections when it's in a special flood hazard area. That's where the confusion is. It's directed so the local community knows that they still have to make inspections of flood load and flood resistant construction to meet the NFIP requirements, but it doesn't say that private providers cannot do that. And some communities take that interpretation a little bit further and they just say they don't allow it in special flood hazard areas, and that's the local community's interpretation. But it's the intent was not to prohibit private providers from doing the work or doing the inspections when it comes to flood load and flood resistant construction in the special flood hazard areas. But the requirement was that the community also had to make sure it was correct.
And that's true, and I think the answer to the question is really specific to what's in that, in the code section 107.6.1, which refers to two type of affidavits that's really in the code. It doesn't really address affidavits or anything that's real or the system as established by, for the privacy provider and for the statute 553.79.1, and that's what's really the Secretary's statement clarifying.
Is there any additional discussion?
May I make one more statement? Thomas Smith, may I make one more statement?
1 second, please.
Sure.
TAC members, do you have any other? We have a motion on the table, which generally our rules of procedure are once there's a motion on a table, we don't take additional comment. Tom or Justin, do you have any opinion on that in terms of that?
This is Justin Vogel. I mean, it's usually up to whether the TAC chair or TAC members have specific questions for the public or the petitioner at this point.
Right. Okay. Unless any TAC members do, then is there any other discussion on the motion? All right. All in favor of staff's analysis, please say aye.
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 All right. Is there any special occupancy member who is opposed? Then it's unanimous. Let me check one quick thing here. Did Michelle Haynes join the call? I don't see her on there, but okay.
So, hey, so I'm on.
Okay, so the vote is 6-0 in favor, just to clarify that. All righty. That concludes the deck statement. Is there any public comment? General public comment? Okay.
I'm sorry. Say us here. City of Doral, I just wanted to make a comment.
Go ahead, Ben.
The flood loads are treated for flood plan review and inspection and approval. It has to be handled by the community, and NFIP, the NFIP and FEMA are in direct privity with that community in the ordinance, like Con Cole was alluding to. It's treated very much just like life safety inspections or fire. Only the fire department can give that clearance. And the confusion is with the private providers. Private providers can do the inspections they're licensed to and within their scope. But at the end of the day, the community, that local building department or floodplain management office, they're the ones in privity or that have made the ordinance and the understanding with FEMA. And again, that's part of the issue, and the fact that the private provider scope and procedure is not spelled out in the code kind of leaves that loophole, and this might be a good opportunity to, going forward and trying to tighten up that language, because permit by affidavit, as staff pointed out, is just that. It's an affidavit. It's not necessarily the private provider program. But there is affidavits that the building department is taking in the form of the logs and the clearance, and that's where some of that ambiguity comes up when a private provider turns in all their documentation for the building department to finally issue the CO. As a municipality, it creates a lot of hardship and confusion with that ambiguity. And my concern is that this may get misconstrued as saying that now they could authorize or approve the flood provisions of the building code, which the intent is clear in 105.14 and 107.6.1, and by the request of FEMA, that only the local jurisdiction have jurisdiction or authority over the flood provisions within the building code. Con, if I'm misspeaking, please correct me, but that's always been our interpretation.
Thank you, Vince. Okay, we're in public comment right now, so we're not actually going to have a discussion on this point. Is there any additional public comment?
Yes, this is Greg Yontorno.
State your name and representation and make your public comment, please.
Greg Yontorno, building code administrator and a private provider. I just wanted to point out that I certainly don't have an issue with any jurisdiction performing inspections to ensure that the building is in compliance with their flood-prone ordinance. The issue here is that a particular jurisdiction is using a memo issued by the Florida DEM that states that if a jurisdiction were to issue a permit by affidavit, it would put them in jeopardy of the NFIP, which I would agree. If someone just issued if a jurisdiction just issued a permit based on an affidavit. I think where part of the confusion comes in, so in the beginning of the process, we send what's called the notice to building official. Affidavit is not part of the form, but I guess it could be construed as such. When we do our plan review, we submit an affidavit. It's called a plans compliance affidavit, which indicates that we reviewed the plans for code compliance. The inspections are not an affidavit. It's an inspection report stating that an inspection was performed and whether it passed or failed. The whole concept here is that this particular jurisdiction.
Okay. All right.
Is using their believing that it would put their jurisdiction in jeopardy of the NFIP if they allowed private provider services in their jurisdiction.
Right. Thank you. Is there any additional public comment?
Joe Belcher, Florida Home Builders Association. It sounds to me as though there needs to be a change to the code, and I would like to offer our assistance to DEM if they would like to come up with some language we can work with them and try to get this straightened out. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment? All right. Is there any other comments from our staff or TAC members? Okay. Commissioner Compton, if you would please adjourn the structural TAC.
Okay. The structural TAC stands adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And since we don't have a chair, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn from our special occupancy TAC.
Motion to adjourn, Michelle Haynes.
For a second, please.
Second, Con Cole.
Very good. A motion, a second to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? So it is unanimous. Both TACs are now adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you.